Love Talk Radio. who all know this ain't no ordinary worship. This is not no ordinary service. This is no ordinary Bible study. This is not no ordinary people. And we are not no ordinary. We are just like Christ. For those that may not know it, it's nothing ordinary about us. So if you're here for the first time, don't expect to have no ordinary Bible study, because that's not what you're going to get. Don't expect to hear ordinary sermons. Don't expect to hear ordinary messages, because that's not what's going on here. We're led by the Spirit of God. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly happy to have you all. We're going to ask Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, if she'd be so kind to give us a word of prayer, and we will continue afterwards.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Pastor, for that selection. Amen. This ain't no ordinary worship. Amen. Praise God. We thank God that we're not ordinary. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by of him. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we're thanking you, Father God, for another day, thanking you for another time that we can come together and be in the Word together, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you will continue to bless our pastor, lead and guide him, Father God, in all truth, that he's able to teach that truth to us as well, Father God, and let us receive it, Father God, that we're able to share that with others, Father God. But we want to continue, Lord, to lift Brother Minister Robinson in prayer, and also Sister T, Evangelist Sharon, Evangelist Renee, also Evangelist Roper, the Foster family, Evangelist Travis, and also the Foster family, and all those that are on this broadcast today, Father God. You know our hearts. You know what we're going through. You know our prayer requests, Father God. So, Father God, we just ask that you will just help us to trust in you, Father God, and lean and depend on you, knowing that your word is faithful, your word is true, and that as we're learning more and more of this new and living way, that we will open our hearts to you, Father God. And Lord, we just thanking you for the lesson, because it's teaching us that when the scripture tells us about heart, it's talking about the spirit, Father God. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the word of God and the understanding of the word of God. Lord, bless all those that are sick and shut in. Be with those who are bereaved. Be with those who are going through. Be with those in high places, and help us all to continue to pray one for another, Father God, and bind up the enemy, Father God, that he cannot do anything that God won't allow him to do. So we binding up that enemy right now in the name of Jesus and pleading the blood on each and every one of us, Father God. Lord, have your way. Now, Lord, help us to receive this blessing today in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I thank God for that. Well, we're going to get into the lesson. I apologize. I was trying to look up something. something came to me, and maybe a pastor helped me out here in a moment. I know it was in the Messenger Bible, but it was talking about the lining of our heart. And the Lord showed me something, and it just happened, and I was going to find that. But, okay, here's where we were yesterday. We want to pick that back up. And Matthew 6:21. But we're going to go to our foundational scripture so everybody understand that out of the 884 times that the Bible mentioned heart, most of the time it's talking about the spirit, especially in the Old Testament where it talks about 724 times. And don't try to hold me to these numbers, because there are other things that more important than trying to hold someone to some numbers. I mean, it might be 160 times in the New Testament the word heart, but then it may be more. What's important mm-hmm. is that you got to get the message out of it. So if you choose to do a research and you led to, you came across 724 times, it's still about 99%, and I'll back off of that and say 95% time they're talking about the spirit of a man, mm-hmm. and that is important, that you have to get that, and you need to mark that in your Bible, because it's easy to run across something and say, oh, well, here's what they're talking about, the heart, and your head is not really going there, and your head needs to go there, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, God knows our thoughts. He knows what we think. He knows the difference between peace and evil. He knows what's in your spirit, man.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why he wants us to know what the eternal life is all about. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, we got to, it's a mandate that we preach about the eternal life, which has to do with what we're talking about today, your spirit, getting your spirit eternally ready, getting your mind eternally ready. Don't worry about the body, but your spirit and your mind needs to be eternally ready. And most of all, your heart has to be eternally ready, okay? We'll continue to pray for a moment. Evangelist Sharon, hadn't heard from her, but I think she's out of town, whatever that means, she's out of town. So we are going to continue on in 1 Peter. I'll go there and I'll read it out of the Messenger, King James Version. And Pastor should be so kind to read it out of the Messenger Bible. But in 1 Peter 3:4, it reads as follows: but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, what matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition, cultivated inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. Amen, amen.
Yeah, see, the beauty that God is looking at, brothers and sisters, it's your spirit, man. That's what he's looking at. I just tell you mm-hmm. straight. I won't sugarcoat anything. He's looking at your spirit. That's where the great price is. That's what God sees in his sight. In his sight, he sees a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. That's what God's looking at. He's looking at your spirit, man. That's mm-hmm. what is a great price. That's what means something to him.
Amen.
That's worth a great price. And I want to say one thing else about the foundational scripture, because you can get this. Remember, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. Now you go back and you read this again, and he says to us, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, talking about the spirit, in that which is not corruptible. See that heart in your chest?
All right, come on.
I want this to make sense to you. That heart in your chest is corruptible. So we're not talking about that heart. We're not talking about that 4-inch or that muscle that's in your chest as big as your fist. So when the Bible talking about heart, that's not what it's talking about. Not talking about the human heart.
All right.
That's not, animals have that. That's not what he's talking about. Birds, I've even been told that birds have a heart. But I'm not getting into all of that. I don't want to get into all of that. But I can tell you the spirit is related to the heart in a lot of ways, because without it, you die. Without the heart that's in your chest, unless you get an artificial one, it does something. It pumps life, because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17 and 11. So your life is in your spirit. The eternal life is similar to that 4-inch or muscle that, or that organ that you call the spirit, which pumps blood. It's just like that one. It's not that. So when the Bible talking about the heart, it has a lot of other significant meaning toward it. And may I tell you, if you do a real research, you'll see so much similarity. It touches all parts of the body, just like your spirit. It touches all parts of the body. You can't live without a heart. You can't live without a spirit. It put life throughout the entire body. It can determine if you make peace or not. If your spirit is right, you become a peacemaker.
Amen.
See, the heart receives oxygen. And you can't see it. So your spirit is living, and it receives from the word of God. Man, that thing is so beautiful. It would take me, and I'm being honest with you guys, it would take me probably a whole day to really explain all the similarity, the basic similarity. And no, I'm not no doctor. Let me be clear. I'm not no doctor, but I give you what the word of God gave me and what the Holy Spirit gave me. And I tell you, if you're spiritual, you're going to understand it.
Amen.
Your spirit has to function. It has to function. When the Bible tells us to keep the heart, you're not talking about that thing in your chest, brothers and sisters. I just keep telling you this, and I'm going to keep saying that because I want you to get it. Well, you know, we talked about Ephesians yesterday, Ezekiel. We talked about it's spiteful heart. He ain't talking about that thing that pumps blood. He ain't talking about that organ there. That ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about your spirit, man. And that is so important that you understand that like that. It's your spirit, man. So we're not talking about that 4-inch muscle that's in your chest. So when you see the word spirit, he's talking about the spirit, your spirit. That's what he's talking about, okay? Don't want nobody to get this to it. All right. Now, so in Matthew 6, I want y'all to hear this. In Matthew 6, 21, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen, amen. Turn the message, Bible. Matthew 6:21. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Amen.
See, your heart will be where your treasure is. Your spirit will be whatever you treasure.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Whatever you high standards on, whatever you elevate above everything else. Well, you probably best understand this. When you treasure your children, your spirit is there. When you treasure what they do, how they do, your spirit is there. Or for understanding purposes, your heart is there. Same thing, brothers and sisters. Your heart is there. My heart is with my daughter tonight. My heart is with my... You're really saying my spirit. Because you're not talking about that, there again, that four-inch thing in your chest. That muscle, that... No, you ain't talking about that. Be honest with yourself. Think about it. But you got to get your head turning in that way. We have to train ourselves to think. When we say heart, he's talking about our spirit. Well, preacher, why is that so important today? Why is that so important? Because if you don't think like that, you won't understand this like that.
Yes, amen.
You got to be thinking spirit. Don't be thinking heart, because if you say heart, it's going to go boom. It's not going to mean anything. But when you say spirit, when you say heart, if you write spirit instead of heart there, oh God, oh Jesus, man, that's a whole different book. I mean, that's a whole different look altogether now. When you say heart.
Amen, amen.
See, I was reading something the other day about the heart of the heart, and I thought about Pharaoh. And it's not for everybody, but for believers. You remember they worship just about everything. And everyone, you know, in ancient Egypt, they worship pretty much everyone and everything. Yeah. So in their mind, Egypt, the Nile River, it was a deity to them. It was what was going on. So guess what God did? So God essentially said, okay, the Nile River that you think is a deity to you, you think it's all this and all that, he said, I'm going to turn it into blood. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it into blood.
Yeah.
So the Bible tells us that Moses lift up his rod and struck the water as he was told to, and there in the river, the sight to the Pharaoh's, his servants, he said, what's going on here? And the water there were in the river were turned to blood. They was astonished at that. That's over there in Exodus 7. Pharaoh's musicians could do the same thing. These musicians could do the very same thing. So they were able to do that. But the Bible says Pharaoh's heart got hardened. Because every time he do, every time his musicians would do things, then God would overdo him. He would let Moses overdo him. And I could give you all of that, but I don't want to talk about that. So, and that's the way I see a lot of people are today. When they see the pureness of God, Satan brings something else to try to watch over. So we don't see the truth. Even in our praise, I know how some people praise God. God said, praise him with the tambourines and with everything, the flute, you name it, he said, praise. Satan tried to bring all of his stuff in and said, yeah, you got to praise him, but you got to get in this building and praise him. God didn't tell you to do that. So Satan always app-living and doing a little extra because he wants to deceive us from having our religious, having our eternal life. So in our world today, it's full of all kind of religious, prophets. They proclaiming to be prophets, religious leaders, and saying they have the truth. And I'm going to tell them so bad. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Listen, brothers and sisters, having Christian faith, it outweighs everything. It's going to take over the invitation. And to just kind of finish that story with Moses, finally God said, okay, enough is enough. Here's what's going on. Moses, take that rod, stick it out there, and he ate up all Pharaoh's stuff, ate up his rod, his musician. Yeah. They couldn't do anything. See, I want you all to understand. So when the Bible talking about heart, he's talking about the spirit of a man. So when you read the scriptures, make sure you make note of that, brothers and sisters, that he's talking about, I can give you any examples. I mean, like I said, it's 884. It's 724 in the Old Testament. It's 160 in the New Testament. I can go anywhere and grab the word heart and just show you. Like, for instance, in the book of Hebrews, 3 and 8. We'll go to Hebrews 3 and 8 for a minute. In Hebrews 3 and 8, will you read that for me, Pastor? Matter of fact, read all the way through the 10th. Read all the way through the 10th, if you will.
Okay. And from the Message Bible, from the King James, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Amen.
You read through the 10th verse?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Listen, brothers and sisters, when he says harden not your heart, I was trying to find something. He says, as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, we're in an area in our life where we're faced with all kinds of things. Don't harden your heart when God tells you something through his word. Like right now, I'm teaching about the word heart. And the word heart here really talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's talking about the spirit being in your spirit, the Holy Spirit being in your spirit. So when he's talking about heart, he's telling you heart, not your spirit. Not why? So the Holy Spirit can be in there. But if you're going to make it hard, it's going to be hard for the Holy Spirit to get in there because you made it hard. It's like I was sharing with you about Moses. Pharaoh, every time Moses come with Pharaoh, he just got harder and harder. Look at it like cement, for instance. There are certain ingredients you can put in cement and make it harder and harder and harder because you need it at a certain hardness. But you have to add stuff. That's the point I want to make. You ain't got to know all this about concrete, but you begin to add stuff. And you began to want to show. So that's why God is making it real clear here. Don't be like your fathers when they tempt me. And I was telling them things, but they didn't get it. I saw my work. for 40 years. I fed them for 40 years. They didn't have to go to show them about no clothes. For 40 years, their feet had brand new shoes on their feet. For 40 years, I fed them. Not anything to worry about. But they were always wanting to tempt God. And that's where the people are today. When I tell people, you're the church, you are God's church, that's where the people want to make excuses. They want to add something. They always want to add something to show me that the word of God is wrong. If the Bible says, know ye not, you are the temple, then that's what it is. Don't be trying to add nothing to it. Just believe it and receive it. Because that kind of stuff grieves God. God telling you to worship him in spirit and in truth, and you want to go worship a building. You want to go worship a man. Hey, it's a mandate today, brothers and sisters. We got to start worshiping a true and living God. See, that's why that pandemic, God can fix you. You'll never go back in a building. He can do that. He's already proven that. You might not want to mess with that. You might want to open your eyes and say, okay, Lord, what's really going on here? What's really happening here? You might want to open your understanding and see what God is talking about. So when he's talking about the heart of a man, he's talking about the spirit of a man. Listen, brothers and sisters, everybody won't get this. I don't expect everybody to get it, but I want you to know if you're receiving revelation knowledge, God wants you to get your heart right. And when he says heart, he's not talking about that that muscle organ in your chest. That's not heart. That's not the heart. So you're going to have to go through your Bible and mark certain things. When he said they always in their heart, that's what the 10th verse said, they always error in their heart. They're not talking about the one that pumped blood. He's talking about the spirit.
Amen.
They have not known my ways. They have not known my way. And you know that 12th verse says, take heed, brother, lest be in any of you an evil heart. How can you get an evil heart? Talking about your spirit. An evil heart of unbelief. That's what you're talking about. An evil heart of unbelief. Departing from the living God. Yeah. See, God is a spirit. So your heart he's talking about is your spirit, man. Trust me. Well, I say that all the time. Trust me. I want you to trust the word of God. I want you to get in there and let the God show you that you might be hardening your heart. When you shut down on the word of God and you want to question God's word and, oh, it ain't like this, it ain't like, listen, brothers and sisters, don't allow your heart to get hard toward God. Because just like you shut down, God will shut down his revelation knowledge. You'll really never know. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, there's two gods. Oh, yeah, but God, and they began wanting to tell me all about God. I know God. I know God, I know everything. I did all that. I told them Hebrews 4:13. I gave them all that. I said, well, wait a minute. What you need to understand is about this other God, because he is the God of this world. Do your homework. Learn out what he means. Learn out the powers he has. Learn this stuff. Well, I ain't worried about that. You ought to be worried about it, and you ought to be concerned about it. Not worry in the sense that you're just, oh, shit, but you ought to be concerned enough to know your enemy. Know your enemy. Know that everything that says to you, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Know that everybody can profess that Jesus is Lord is not going to enter in. This is about your eternal life, brothers and sisters. You don't get another crack at this. I don't know if anybody told you that lately. You don't get another crack at this thing here.
Amen.
See, the only thing can divide this is the word of God. The only thing can separate what your spirit is, what your soul is, what your body is the word of God. The only thing can do that. So that's why it's so important that we learn and we understand that Jesus said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. I tell anybody, go do your research on the word hearts, and you'll see that this heart he's talking about is a spirit man, but you don't see that in the scripture. So you got to, just for understanding purposes, When you say heart, you're talking about spirit. Just like when I say church, I'm talking about a group of people. I'm not talking about a building. So people say to me, what church you go to? I said, I don't go to no church. I am the church. The church don't go to church. Who God? Well, where you come from? Well, because they had never heard the truth that rocks their world. But think about it.
Yeah.
And then they'll turn around and tell me the same thing. And it doesn't bother me because I say, oh, yeah, that's right. We are the church. And they'll turn around and try to explain to me, well, yeah, I know that we are the church, but then they want to put up a lot of buts. I say, ain't no buts. You either the church or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
They either you part of the organization or you part of the organism. You one or the other. Because God is a jealous God. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to let you guys go. God is a jealous God. So God wants us to serve him with a pure heart. So he's talking about that spirit man. That's what he's talking about. How do you think only the pure in heart going to see God? He's talking about your spirit. You got to get your spirit pure. How that happened? By getting born again. What do you think in Hebrews 10:22, he says, let us draw nigh or near, either way, with a true heart. How do you get a true heart? How do you get a true heart? That's your spirit man he's talking about. In the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure word of God or the water, same thing. So what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're going to live this new and living way, you're going to have to understand you're living this by your spirit, man. And we're so happy to have each and every one of you. Pastor, you had anything you want to share before we dismiss? Tomorrow is Thankful Thursday. I will be led. If the Lord say continue or just let everybody can join and have something to be thankful for. But I just want you to know, have a scripture to be thankful for. That God has given you revelation. And then you can share with the people of God on this broadcast a scripture that God gave you revelation on, you know, or revelation with. Something you can, I mean, we're all thankful for all this stuff, and that's good. But I want you to, if you will, for Thankful Thursday, if there's a scripture that's been said today, this week, whatever, or a scripture you read and God gave you revelation while you was in the bathroom. I don't care. You was in the living room. I don't know. You was outside, and God gave you revelation, and you thankful for that scripture. We want you to bring that scripture, share it with someone so they can be as blessed as you are. Because, you know, this is about our eternal life. We're to help each other to grow, you know.
Yeah.
You have anything, Pastor?
That one scripture you had asked about earlier when you first opened up about the heart and the lining of the heart is Hebrews 10 and verse 16 from the King James. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And in the Message Bible, it says, this new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. Amen.
That's what I was talking about. Listen, brothers and sisters, when God talking about carving it and aligning in my heart, or you can go back and get it out the King James Version, it's the same thing. That's what he's talking about, that spirit man. Yeah, this is the new contract God made with us about the spirit man.
Amen.
That's what's going to get your eternal life, because that's what you're going to be judged by, that spirit man. So when you land up treasures in heaven, or you land up treasures, well, let me go, because if I know I could preach all day long. But learn where you land your treasures at. Are they in heaven or are they on the earth? Because if your treasure is on earth, and you're worried about a house or going to church and all this, that's earthly treasure. Your treasures will determine where your spirit. So the Bible says, amen, seek those things above where Christ sit on the right hand. That's where your that's where your treasures ought to be at. Seeking those things, your heart ought to be there. That's where your heart ought to be. That's what you ought to treasure. Yeah. Not this building, but how about the head building, the building that's in heaven according to Hebrews 8. That's where your heart need to be. But hey, I thank you all. Thank you so much, Pastor.